Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Let me give you the title for the sermon today. It's this: What Makes Me Vulnerable to Offense? And for some of you right now, as soon as I said that, it would be click. Heard this, done this, read The Bait of Satan many times, all of those kinds of things. If you don't know what that book is, it's by John Bevere, a fantastic book. It's 20 years old, or 20, I think 22 or 23 years old now, but still so relevant to the body of Christ. And today's, what I want to do is I'm going to share a little bit, and then I'm going to give you a prophetic word that I received about a month and a half ago when I was here on a Wednesday night prayer meeting. In fact, back in December, when we had our prayer meeting here, there were those of us that were here, and we were around the center, kind of, we made a circle out of the chairs, and we were walking around and doing different things, and I was praising, and it was just wonderful, really, really enjoying worship. And then something began to happen with me where I will explain later on. And the Lord began to give me a prophetic word that was actually so strong at the time, I didn't want to release it. And it wasn't the fact that I was saying, no, Lord, I won't release it. It was more along the lines of, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this. Because I hadn't felt anything that strong in such a long time that it was unfortunately a little bit foreign. And so I had to say, okay, Lord, help me with this. Walk me through this and show me what to do with this. But today, we are in the midst of a series right now where we're beginning to look at the matters of the heart. We're beginning to look at to the hearts and prepare. Now, what I don't want to do this morning, I'm not interested in doing this sense where we begin to continuously deep dive, and before you know it, like we've dug ourselves all up and we're just a mess. That's not what I'm looking for today. I do believe in inner healing ministry, and I do believe that we got to get down sometimes to the roots of things. But if you know the story of that, there are those, there's a president, who basically they began to probe this wound that he had, which was somewhat superficial, and they kept trying to figure out what was wrong, and they kept digging in it to see what was wrong, and it ended up that there really wasn't that much wrong until they started digging into it, and then it became sepsis, and then, well, that's not a good thing. And it's the same thing with sometimes where I'm not looking today so to begin to dig deep down. But I am looking today to just to be open and to be, to have the Lord speak clearly through me. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so it's the sense of, for me, that I wanted to just spend a little bit of time walking us through things. So right now, when I think about it, I'm not going to say his name, I'm just going to, let's just call him Mr. Church, okay? And that's not, maybe I should change the name because I'm not talking about the body of Christ in there. This is a guy that I knew and I went to Bible school with, and, you know, we would sit around at times and talk about the things of God, and we would spend time, we were in the same classes because we were in the same year, and our initials for our names were around the same, and whatnot. So we saw each other a lot and we spent a lot of time together. And somewhere between the first year and my last year, this guy kind of disappeared on the radar. And to the point when you follow up and find that, and I don't know where he is now, I've tried at different times to find him, but to no longer, just for example, let's say it's not about not attending church anymore, it's about really, truly walking away from God. And I've known as a pastor, I've been in a church and seen, this is the longest I've ever been anywhere in my life now. The longest we've spent in ministry within the Pentecostal assemblies, which I am so grateful that that's my heritage and that God taught me so much in that fellowship. And I'm so grateful for that. But in that fellowship, at times you do a lot of traveling, you do a lot of moving around. And I remember for at least my two oldest kids, they've moved more than most of you will ever move in your life. They moved in a few years. We would move, and because if ministry was done in a certain place or whatever it would be, there would be a lot of moving around and transferring. And I've seen at different times somebody who is just absolutely on fire for God, just burning passion for the Lord. Everything is just all consuming with them, and they're just like going for it with everything they've got. And then It's not like they woke up one morning and went, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. It never happens like that. I've never known anybody to do it like that. But then all of a sudden we realize, hey, where's so-and-so? Where's that person? And you're connecting with them and you realize that they've not just gone to another church or whatever it would be, but they are completely no longer walking with God. To go from someone who is burning with the passion of God to just walking away. And we can look and we can be in judgment and say, how could that ever happen? It could never happen to me. I will never say it could never happen to me. Because I recognize that those people didn't ever want it to happen to them. And it's something that if we're not careful for, and I know this is kind of deep and I've already got into, I can see your faces just kind of like giving me the eyes in a second. So just deep breath, okay, in the midst of this. But I know that offense is something that will take us out. Offense is something that we often go and go, who, me? I'm not offended, and I'll get to that in the prophetic word that came in a minute ago. But let me just give you these things so I can get to them so I can stay on track today. Here we go. I'm going to give you five things that make us vulnerable to offense. Now, again, when we say that, that doesn't mean we have to. It's impossible to live in this world. It's impossible to go to a job and not be offended. Absolutely impossible. If you've done it your entire life, come talk to me afterwards. We'll have a chat and I'm going to learn something. Because there's always somebody that's going to annoy you at work. None of you have ever had jobs like that? Okay, there's always. Now, so if nobody annoys you, the joke is maybe you're the annoying one. Who knows? Okay, but we look at these things and everywhere we go, if you've not been here that long, hang on, you'll get a chance to be offended with me. Just stick around for a little while. It will happen. It's like, no, not me. No. It will happen. You will get the opportunity. I didn't say you had to stay in that offense or even that you would become offended, but you'll get the opportunity to be offended. There's a difference between being offended and having the opportunity to be offended. Every single one of us has opportunity to be offended, and that's not sin. They come to us on a continual basis, but it's when we begin to find ourselves that we have, even as John Bevere says, we have consumed the bait, we have taken the bait, and now we find ourselves offended. Now, so here we go, the five things that make us vulnerable to offense. Number one, and Pastor Jay talked really well about this last week, so I won't get into this a lot, but a lack of love. Or, so you might write down if you're writing something, number one, a lack of love or a self-focused love. Now, when I say that, a lack of love, we're going to look at Proverbs, we're going to get to Philippians in a second. But for Proverbs 17 and 9, it says this, is such an interesting verse. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. And it talks about in this that when you say covers an offense, that's not talking about trying to hide somebody's sin. Okay, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact of not exposing somebody to your neighbor. That when we're offended with someone or when we're frustrated with someone, it's a dangerous thing because here's what happens. We pollute each other. Come on now, hear me. We pollute each other. We can go up to them and we may not even sit there and go, do you know what so-and-so did to me? Okay, it might be kind of casual. We need to pray for sister so-and-so because woo-hoo. But before you know it, we have now tainted that person. And I'm not talking about the person needs prayer and we're praying for them. I'm talking about the fact that let's say, you know, whatever it would be, that that person has offended you dearly and you've decided, and maybe you haven't decided it on purpose, but you've told half the church that they have done this. And everyone that you pass by, you leave a little bit of poison that begins to grow inside of them. Because here's the thing, offense is something that takes over the heart. Look at me just for a second. None of us want this. I don't want this. And none of us, myself included, and you'll see today, are immune to this. I don't want my heart to be filled with the poison of offense, because it affects everything I see and do, and it wants to drag me away from God's presence. See, when I have an offense, it begins to block out love. It begins to cause me to look at somebody critical. Proverbs 11:13 says this, a talebearer, in other words, a gossip, someone who's telling everything, reveals secrets. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. And what we're talking about is if you know if somebody's going through something or something's happened or somebody's offended, you pray for them. You walk in love for them, but you don't sit there and tell everybody else around you about the situation. And that doesn't mean that you would have somebody that you're going to go to and ask for counsel, not to spread. You understand the difference? Somebody will come, I need to talk to somebody. I got to get it out of me. I got to talk to somebody. I understand, but what's the purpose? This is what I always ask myself, Rod, what's the purpose? Why are you sharing this? Is it with that leader or that person so that I can get healthy, so I can get it out of me? Or am I sharing it because I'm ticked off? Now, none of you ever get ticked off, right? None of you. You know, it doesn't consume you sometimes. You don't look and find somebody that looks like that person and get ticked off at the new person just because they look like that person. Never happens to you at all, I'm sure. But in this, when we find this lack of love, no, Proverbs 19 and 11, Proverbs has a lot of these. Good sense makes one slow to anger. Boy, we need a lot of good sense in this world right now. And it is his glory, and that's not talking about God, it's talking about the person. It is his glory to overlook an offense. Now that word, if you actually look into it in the Hebrew, that is the word avar, and it means to pass over, but it means specifically to forgive. To forgive and to forgive quickly an offense. Colossians 3:14 says it this way, above all, clothe yourself with love, which what? Which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So we become vulnerable to offense when I would put it this way, not when Rod's love is kind of low, but when the agape love of God is low inside of me. When I haven't been filling up on God's love, when I've allowed circumstances and situations to cause me to separate myself from the Lord because I feel unworthy. Maybe none of you go through that. I know for me that I can still go through that at different times and you don't even realize it and you go, whoa, how did I get here? And you're shocked at how you got here. Anybody like that? Anybody had that happen? You're shocked at how you got here. But is that sense for us, if we're gonna be unoffendable, and if we're going to go be like Philippians 1:9 says it this way, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. Your what would abound? Your love would abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. And look at this. I read it in different, it says it's slightly different in different places, but it says this, and without offense, till the day of Christ. This is this thing, and you say, well, it's impossible. I can't do that. On our own, we can't. But we need to be a people that are unoffendable. Let me ask you something. I will say it this way, because I have been toxic at times. I'm not going to point the finger and ask you, do you know somebody toxic? I don't want you to look around the room and find the person. Okay? Especially if it's your wife or your husband. Okay, don't do that. But what I'm saying is that I've been toxic at times. I've been bad to be around. And most of the time, guess what? You guys never see it. Guess who sees it? Home. They see the toxic. God sees this, exactly. But we need to become a people that have emptied out our offenses and filled up on love. Because guess what? Within the next couple of years, we're going to see this church grow more and more and more. Put up your hand if you're new here within the last 3 years. Look around. Welcome. We love having you here. There's some of you that would be here even a shorter period of time ago. You're new here, and we love having you here. I love to see your faces. I look for you when you come in, and I love your kids, and I love to minister to your kids. But we have to be a people that when people come in, that they don't see all a bunch of crusty people that have a whole lot of offenses. Now, don't look for perfect people because it ain't happening here, okay? And if you go somewhere else, guess what? There's no perfect people there either. But in this, when we look at this number two, and I got to go through this. So number two, the second thing is things that make us vulnerable to offense is unforgiveness. Now it seems like click, heard that 100 times. It's because of the fact that it's so true. Colossians 3:13 says this, bear with one another. Now what you might think that says, go ahead and turn into it. Find Colossians 3:13. Okay, it says, bear with one another. Maybe your translation says it a little bit different. It might use the word forbearing or something along those lines. But if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must be, you must forgive. That word bearing, though, it has a few different meanings. Although it has the meaning to forgive, so for example, that we will help and whatnot, but it means the fact of lifting somebody up. It has the sense of lifting each other up. And forgiveness is a way in which that we begin to do that. I think that when I look at it, the most powerful thing that I, you know, one of the hardest verses in children's ministry, let me give it to teach. Besides, there's a couple we just usually skip by because, you know, we'll just wait till they're older. But this one is a powerful verse. Matthew chapter 6, turn it with me, just so you can see it. Matthew chapter 6, and it's verses 14 and 15. And we can turn around and try to figure out how to theologically shift and change and move this verse all around if we want. But this seems to pretty well say what it means. This verse says, for if you forgive others their trespasses... Okay, in other words, forgive others their offenses or against you is what it's talking about. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's good. I like that part. Let's just stop there. But what does the rest of the verse say, which is powerful? But if you don't, you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I have turned around and I have heard all kinds of theologians and all kinds of people trying to shift it to this and shift it to that. But the truth is this, God's not trying to not, he doesn't want standing up there going, did you forgive yet? Did you forgive yet? Oh, you're out. Oh, you're back in. Thank God, that's awesome. No, he doesn't do that. But there is a sense in here, his desire is to bring forgiveness into your life continually because forgiveness transforms us. But if we are unwilling to forgive, says it here pretty quickly or pretty easily, and it's a powerful to think of that God cannot forgive. And it's powerful. It's a little bit scary, isn't it? And that doesn't mean that we have to sit there and go, oh, did I forget to forgive somebody? Oh no, oh no, oh no, do I got it all? I mean, as a kid somewhat growing up, if you ever had, when we had seen some movies that I wish I didn't see, okay, and that was really that series that talked about the rapture and everything else. I happen to believe those things, but here's the thing is, it was used sometimes as fear-mongering, okay? And what it was, scare the life out of you. You came home one day and my parents were gone. My mother was never gone when I came home. Never. She was always there. I don't know where she was now. I don't remember, but I knew she was gone. I thought Jesus came and I was left behind. And I figured, where do I go? What do? How do I figure this out? Yes, let's run down the street because I know those people down there. They go to the church. I'm going to go down there and see. I rang Mrs. Fowler's bell. She came to the door. I turned around and ran away because I figured if Mrs. Fowler was there, everything was okay, right, and whatnot. And I just said, well, it's all good. But in the midst of this, the idea is simply this. We live in a sense of always beginning to forgive. The third one is this. It's a lack of value for each other. We as believers must be the people who see the best in others. If it's easy to see, then great. But when it's buried under layers of pain and difficulty, it can be much harder to find that value. But listen. But it must be us that finds it. We have to find the value in one another. Because if I have value for you, when something happens, it is not going to be allowed, I'm not going to allow that offense to come in because I'm not going to let the enemy play with my mind because I have value for you, I have a relationship with you, I have connection for you, and I trust that you have the best intention for me. Now, let's go to number four here, and I want to get to number five. That's where I've been kind of trying to get to, and then we'll look at this prophetic word. But number four is this, that another thing could be a distorted view. I mean, you've heard me preach, and Pastor Gary's preached on it actually as well, preaching on lenses and the fact of the way in which that we see through things. My dad and I went to look at for glasses, get new glasses this week, and we went in there and we looked through the glasses. He happened to pick the same ones that I got, so we're both eventually going to have the same glasses on by the time we get them in there. But my dad's glasses, if I took my dad's glasses and put them on today, I would be looking like I was drunk. Okay, because my dad's glasses are very different than mine. If I gave my glasses to my dad would be wondering why are these things on my face? Because they're not helping me at all. But in this, here's the thing. These glasses, our lenses of life, can get dirty by life's experiences. And you have to learn to not play the blame game. With our lenses and cleaning the lenses of our lives, if we get involved with the blame game, in other words, this happened to us, this experience happened to us, so it's gotta be somebody's fault. We're blaming somebody in the midst of this. But do you know that life is just difficult? Come on now, right? If you came to church today expecting me to tell you that life is now going to be just tickety-boo wonderful, it's not gonna be. There are wonderful, beautiful things, and I am so grateful to be in the presence of God and to walk with him through this. But sometimes life is hard. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it makes no sense at all. None. No lick of sense. Sometimes the Bible says this, and life does this. Come on now, let's be real. And in those moments, in those times, if we don't learn to release them instead of allowing them to find a home. Now you say the harder things is, the harder it is to release. So I'm not gonna stand up here and say, it's just real easy. All you gotta do is say, just I release it in Jesus' name and it's done. You may have to do that 725 times. And then on the 2726th time, whoo, there it is. It's not always gonna be easy. But it's essential to not let life's difficulties shape how you see everything. Because I'll give you the example for me. And Karen says that sometimes I overshare, and so I'm going to try not to do that. But if you know anything about me, that we've had experiences way, way, way back. This was almost 9 years ago, and we never had any water in the basement since that. But not, it was eight years ago, sorry. We had floods out in McGregor and floods out in Tecumseh. You remember that time? It was just floods everywhere. Everybody's basement was flooded, all the kind of stuff. We're in the midst of it. And there was, I think I get the numbers sometimes wrong, but 27 inches of water in my basement. My couches were floating. Now, never had an ounce of water in the basement in the rest of those 8 years that I lived there. But my lenses got really messed up. Can I just be honest with you? My lenses really got messed up. Because if I were to be at work here and happened to be, look at the app and the app called for a bit of rain, I would immediately just begin to tense. To call my dad who lived up the street sometimes and go, hey, can you go down and check? Go see. Never any water. But that lens got worse and worse and worse and worse. And the realization is this, is that for me, that wasn't just a dirty lens that needed to get changed or get cleaned. That's a lens that had to get changed because that was shaping how I saw life. It was even shaping my expectations. And I didn't know that it was happening. I didn't know that those things were happening to me. But then what happens is when you see and listen to my heart, if you knew me enough now, you know, I'm not really the type of person that, I mean, all of us can struggle with some of this, I guess, but I don't look at somebody else and because I don't have what they have and I'm like, I don't have envy, if you'd say, because that's where jealousy can be just the fact that you wish you had it. Envy is the fact that I wish they didn't have it so I could have what they have. They don't deserve it, but I deserve it. None of us go say those out with our mouths, okay? But we might go, why don't I ever And then we finished that sentence because we saw what somebody else was blessed with. And you see, those are lenses that have got to be removed. Those are things that got to be healed. Those are things that God's got to do within us. And I'm just going to go on to the next one here. Sorry for that, just quick move in the other direction. The fifth one, dun-da-da, and that's what we've been waiting for this morning. That's what I've been trying to get to, and it's this. Here we go. The most powerful vulnerability that moves us towards offense is insecurity. It will knock you out. In fact, insecurity will begin to build a breeding ground for offense to live. We're going to talk about it a little bit from that prophetic word that I got in just a couple of minutes here. But insecurity says this: it has a need to be recognized or celebrated for the sacrifices and the accomplishments. It has this innate need inside of it, insecurity does. Because here's the thing that 1 John 3:1, you got to turn to this one because you're going to probably need this. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called what?" Come on, so we should be called what? Children of God. Now, that has to be enough. Got these drills up here right now, and someone yelled out, "Why isn't there Makitas up there? Or where's the Makitas?" It depends, again, on what you think is amazing. I spent all of this time, whoops, there we go, I'm gonna blind you all or blind the camera. Okay, I spent all of this time with, you know, these drills, and I'm like, I always wanted to have a DeWalt. And then we had a little bit of money, and I got my first set of DeWalts. I was like, it's just like, and it makes like, it's just like you sit there and you get the ones like this, that when you start using them at first, when I was drilling in my deck with this, I thought something was wrong with the drill because it makes a like a noise in it, but that's just power. It's just awesome. Just drives that thing, and you can put it on different shifts. Like there's a 1, 2, 3 button here and you go, oh, I need faster. And you just go and you're like, this is the best drill I've ever had in my life. And then you sit there and go, I kind of need to have another one because they need friends, right? They just need to sit with each other. And oh, so nice. And then it's like, you guys gave me some money for Christmas. Guess what I bought? And I also bought 2 of these batteries that go in there, and they're special batteries. It's like, I'm just like, I'm feeling empowered, you know? And someone would say, yeah, but you need the red ones. No, you need the blue ones. If you know, you know. Okay. So the idea in here is this, though, that I look at these things. If I had these things and I have them in my hands and I get to use them and they're mine, and for some of this stuff, it was a gift. In fact, most of this stuff was bought with gifts. So I didn't pay for them. In that sense of hard work, it was given to me. Why would I then sit there and go, I need what's in here. I have to have what's in here. Look at what I've got. Look. It's a Black & Decker. It's pathetic. No, just sorry, Black & Decker, no problem. You probably have great stuff. But the idea is I wouldn't sit there and go, I don't need those anymore. I've got this. No, because to be honest with you, this particular drill is quite inferior to this or to a Makita or to a Bosch, whatever it would be. The point is this. When we are said to be the children of God, and when God speaks this over us, Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. So what does all of this mean, it says in the Passion Translation? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who could ever stand against us? You see, there is this sense for me that when I have to be seen or celebrated, or if I get, and you know what? I would sit there and I'm like, Lord, this is what he's talking about. When he gave me this one, I'm like, oh, that's a kind of a weird word way to describe that. And I'm like, well, this doesn't apply to me. And then he does this wonderful thing where he puts memories, he puts situations, he puts things that I've said into the situation. And I realize that I got to deal with something. Because sometimes I'm doing things to be celebrated. And you're just looking at me now like I got seven heads. But here's the truth. That just can't be. Now, as Christians and brothers and sisters with each other, we should celebrate each other. We should be each other's corners. But if I have to have that, because what God says over me is not enough, I need what somebody else says over me, then I've got a problem. Does it make sense to you? It's just like somebody has a Rolex on their watch and they're eyeing a Timex. Those of you that have Timexes, don't be offended. But if you got a Rolex, why would you need a Timex? See, we've got the love of God that is inside of us. And it's time for all of us, we begin to move forward. Because when I think of this, I believe in this next season, and I'll go right into the prophetic word here. I believe in this next season that God's going to fill our house up. I'm waiting for an amen there. I believe over this next season, God's going to fill our house up. I believe you're going to have to get ready to put more chairs in here. I believe we're going to, Pastor Jay had, anybody enjoy the Ben's meeting that we just had on Friday night? That was awesome. I don't know who, I mean, those tacos were amazing. Best tacos I've ever had. And the conversation was incredible. But we talked about something. We talked about connection and relationship. But it's not just as men we need this. We need this in this house. Because as we grow together, I'm not interested in numbers. I'm interested in relationships and connections and this discipleship. I'm interested in us becoming like Jesus. But in order to do that, I was sitting here. I need to get to this. So go back with me now to December the 6th. If somebody could just come back to the piano just to help me for a second here. December the 6th, I'm sitting here and I'm over in the corner now. And you know me, if you've been around, I tend to wander, okay? I mean, we can all be up here praying or whatever it would be, and I'm wandering around doing something, praying, and I was just lost in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, this voice just like exploded into me. You're offended. No, I'm not. And then I'm like, we keep going, and I'm like, you're offended. I'm like, wow, okay, that's really powerful. You're offended. And I'm like, okay, Lord, obviously you're telling me this for a reason. So, Lord, I repent. Forgive me for my offense. Show me my offense that I might get it out of me. And then the voice didn't change. He said, you're offended. I got that, Lord. I heard that. I'm right with you. So show me, you're offended. And I began to realize that this was not a Rod word. This was a corporate word that Rod's involved in. And the Lord then began to, once I got it and it came to my mind, here's where it gets a little tricky. People in our church, people sitting here right now, came flashing right before me. And I heard that voice barrel out of me, you are offended. And I heard, it was just a person after a person after a person. And then I began to see, and strap your seatbelts in a little bit. I'm not going to name names and all that kind of stuff, so don't worry about it. I would never do that. You know me enough by now. But I saw leaders in our church come right before my mind. And God began to bellow out, you're offended. I saw people that have walked us with us for years. You are offended. And I saw people that were somewhat new to us in the last 5 years or so. You are offended. And it was so strong inside of me. And then what happened is that the Lord began to talk to me then about this. And what happened was, as he said this, this is the specifics of it. You have a choice to make. In 6 weeks, you can be completely free and have none of this. Or in 6 months, it could devastate you. You say, Pastor Rod, do you talk in numbers a lot? I really don't. And I'm not going to sit there and tell you that I think that, you know, because you could ask me the question, well, didn't you get this 5-6 weeks ago, aren't we? We're not going down that trail. The point is this. If we say, Lord, show us and change us, it can go. If it has a breeding ground, it will take over. I was sharing with Pastor Jay after the service about it, and I said I began to see hearts, and it was like it started with a little bit of black, and it just began to fill up and fill up and fill up and fill up. And before you know it, that blackness had begun to take over. And it was the matter of, again, every time I would see somebody, it would be like, you're offended. And for us, can you know my heart? We can't afford to be offended. Because I went and went, Lord, show me. And man, I was full of offense. It's embarrassing. You know what I'm talking about? When you start to see, you go, that's disgusting. How in the world did I get like that? How did that happen? And I began to hear this one more word, and it was this. And I hope, I'm not trying to offend anybody in this, okay? I'm trying to walk through these waters. But you think you're tired. You think you're exhausted. You think you've got nothing to give. But you're offended. And it's eating up every single ounce of life that you have. Now, when you get a prophetic word like this, it's not necessarily for every single person in the room, okay? And if you're new here, you're probably going, whoa, what kind of church did I walk into? But just ask the Holy Spirit, is there any part of this for me? And when I began to look at it, it was like, okay, Lord, I recognize that I've been feeling spent. I've been feeling exhausted. I've been feeling like I have nothing to give. I'm feeling all of these ways. And yet you're telling me, Lord, that this is because I'm offended. And it's got to go. It's got to go. Because it is beginning to take over. It's beginning to misshape things. I'm beginning to hear things wrong. Anybody been there? You sit there talking to your wife and she says something, go, what did you just say? What was that? And she says something and I heard something completely different. She's talking to me about something and I'm hearing something completely different. Offense begins to cloud what we hear. So I'm gonna ask Pastor Jay to come here in just a minute. And just to close us, to move us towards even possibility of repentance. I hope that I've shared this properly and that I've explained this. But it was so strong within me that it was like, I'll put it this way, Rod, the life that's coming and what I'm about to do is going to be spent trying to get you to be healthy rather than reaching the world. I want you healthy, Rod. But I don't want to spend the glory that I have to pour out on you to get you healthy to reach the world. I want you to be so healthy, Rod, that you're able to reach the world with the glory. And if I have offended anybody in this room, I have never desired or never meant to. And there's this moment I remember, and we're not gonna do this today. We're not gonna do what from Bethel, Chris Vallotton did. One day he preached about something along this line, and he said, if any of you are offended with me, I want you to line up over here and you can tell me the place was lined up for hours. I don't think he quite expected that to happen. So I'm not gonna line all the pastors up and get you to come. That's not gonna happen. But I heard something very specific saying, some of you are offended with the young adults. You talk about them. And I'm like, Lord, did I do that? I heard someone say, you're offended with a pastor. And I heard, young adults, you're offended with your pastors. It's getting kind of a little bit tough in here, the atmosphere, isn't it? Smile. Help me. I heard, Raj, you let some poison in, buddy. And it's time to flush it out. So I sat with the Lord again recently. That'd have been this week even. Here's what I didn't do. I didn't say, Lord, I forgive so-and-so for offending me. I didn't say, Lord, I forgive this person. I forgive that person. I forgive this person. It's not what I began with. I began with, Lord, I own this. I stand in the middle of this, and I own my offense. And I ask you to forgive me for being offended. Because, Lord, you're enough. You're enough. You are absolutely enough. And I need this out of me. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Yes, the pain, I didn't cause it. Yes, I'm frustrated with someone. Yes, this, yes, this, yes, this. I was hurt, all of these things. But Lord, I stand in the midst of this. I take responsibility for this. And I ask you to forgive me today. Let's all stand up together.
Not an easy message, but how many know that's a true message? So hold tight, don't read into what I'm about to do. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Isn't that awesome? So what I'm not gonna ask you to do is confess what it is, but I feel like when he was at the very end, I feel like we have to acknowledge where we're at with a raised hand to say, Lord, I acknowledge. You don't have to tell what it is, but how many would acknowledge that you carry offense? I know I do. You know, when he gave that word, I've been waiting for him because I'm like, I almost feel like the 6 weeks could be now because it's God knows the timing of when a word, he gets the word and when he can speak the word. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm the whole reason we're doing a heart message is because I know I'm trying to get my heart healed and cleaned up. And so I confess to you as well. I know there's some offense. And just when you think you got it all out, he goes a little deeper. It's like peeling the onion. And then you cry a little more. So, Lord, we stand here today. We don't want to move quickly through this moment. It's not a, well, he preached it, I thought it, so we're through, Lord. I ask, and you ask for yourself, but I ask, Lord, you would begin to walk us through whatever is there. Rod, did you say it? You might have said it, but because you also had offended with God. Did you want to add anything with that?
Just really quickly, that's where it ended with me, was the people were really easy to release, and even the sense of different others were really to release, and then I realized I rocked into a wall, and that was my offense with God. Because we moved into a new house and went downstairs on New Year's Eve, and there was water in the basement. And I wasn't pleasant. And I went, God. And I realized that instead of turning to him and saying, Lord, you got this. It's easy for you. It's simple for you. Thankfully for a wonderful wife. But I had to wrestle with the fact of being offended with God. But when you release that to him, do you know that his shoulders are so big he can handle it? And he's like, Rodney, I understand. And it was like poison just going out of me as I was doing a lot of crying and snot and all that stuff.
So Lord, would you search our hearts? Lord, I thank you that you are a good Father. And when you search our hearts, you're not here to hurt us, you're here to heal us.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.